the 16th of June. Up, but not so early as I intend now, and to my office, where doing business all the morning. At noon, by desire, dined with Sir William Batten, who tells me that the House hath voted the supply intended for the King shall be by subsidy. After dinner, with Sir John Minnis, to see some pictures at Brewer's, said to be of good hands, but I do not much like them. So I to the office, and thence to Stasis, the tar merchant, whose servant, with whom I agreed yesterday for some tar, doth, by combination with Bowyer and Hill, fall from our agreement, which vexes us all at the office, even Sir William Batten himself, who was so earnest for it. So to the office, where we sat all the afternoon till night, and then to Sir William Penn, who continues ill, and so home to bed about 10 o'clock. The 17th of June. Up before 4 o'clock, which is the hour I intend now to rise at, and to my office a while. And with great pleasure I fall to my business again. Anon went with money to my tar merchant to pay for the tar, which he refuses to sell me, but now the master is come home, and so he speaks very civilly, and I believe we shall have it with peace. I brought back my money to my office, and thence to Whitehall, and in the garden spoke to my Lord Sandwich, who is in his gold-button suit, as the mode is, and looks nobly. Captain Ferrers, I see, has come home from France. I only spoke one word to him, my lord being there. He tells me the young gentlemen are well there, so my lord went to my Lord Albemarle's to dinner, and I by water home, and dined alone. And at the office, after half an hour's violin practice after dinner, till late at night, and so home and to bed. This day I sent my cousin Edward Pepys, his lady, at my cousin Turner's, a piece of venison given me yesterday, and Madam Turner I sent for a dozen bottles of hers, to fill with wine for her. This day I met with Pierce, the sergeant, who tells me that the King hath made peace between Mr. Edward Montague and his father, my Lord Montague, and that all is well again, at which, for the family's sake, I'm very glad, but do not think it will hold long. The 18th of June. Up by 4 o'clock, and to my office, where all the morning writing out in my Navy collections the ordinary estimate of the Navy, and did it neatly. Then dined at home alone, my mind pleased with business, but sad for the absence of my wife. After dinner, half an hour at my violin, and then all the afternoon setting at the office late, and so home and to bed. This morning Mr. Cutler came and sat in my closet half an hour with me, his discourse very excellent, being a wise man, and I do perceive by him, as well as many others, that my diligence is taken notice of in the world, for which I bless God and hope to continue doing so. Before I went into my house this night, I called at Sir William Batten, where, finding some great ladies at table at supper with him and his lady, I retreated and went home, though they called to me again and again, and afterwards sent for me. So I went, and who should it be but Sir Francis Clark and his lady, and another proper lady at supper there, and great cheer, where I stayed till 11 o'clock at night, and so home, and to bed. The 19th of June. Lay till 6 o'clock, then up and to my office, where all the morning, and at noon to the Exchange, and coming home I met Mr. Creed, and took him back, and he dined with me, and by came Mr. Moore, whom I supplied with £30, and then abroad with them by water to Lambeth, expecting to have seen the Archbishop lie in state, but it seems he is not laid out yet. And so over to Whitehall, and at the Privy Seal office examined the books and found the grant of the increase of salary to the principal officers in the year 1639, £300 among the Controller, Surveyor, and Clerk of the Ships. Thence to Wilkinson's, after a good walk in the park, where we met on horseback Captain Ferrers, who tells us that the King of France is well again, and that he saw him train his guards, all brave men, at Paris, and that when he goes to his mistress, Madame Lavalliere, a pretty little woman now with child by him, he goes with his guards with him publicly, and his trumpets and kettle-drums with him, who stay before the house while he is with her. And yet he says that for all this, the Queen doth not know of it, for that nobody dares to tell her, but that I dare not believe. Thence I say to Wilkinson's, where we had bespoke a dish of peas, where we ate them very merrily, and there being with us the little gentleman, a friend of Captain Ferrer's, that was with my wife and I at a play a little while ago, we went thence to the Rhenish wine-house, where he called for a red Rhenish wine called Bleakard, a pretty wine and not mixed, as they say. Here Mr. Moore showed us the French manner when a health is drunk, to bow to him that drunk to you, and then apply yourself to him whose lady's health is drunk, and then to the person that you drink to, which I never knew before, but it seems is now the fashion. Thence by water home and to bed, having played out of my chamber window on my pipe before I went to bed, and making Will read a part of a Latin chapter, in which I perceive in a little while he will be pretty ready, if he spends but a little pains in it. The 20th of June. Up and to my office, where all the morning, and dined at home. Mr. Dean with me of Woolwich, and he and I all the afternoon down by water, and in a timber yard, measuring of timber, which I now understand thoroughly, and shall be able in a little time to do the King great service. Home in the evening, and to my office, where dispatched business, and so home. And after Will's reading a little in the Latin Testament, to bed. The 21st of June, Lord's Day. Up betimes, and fell to reading my Latin grammar, which I perceive I have great need of, having lately found it by my calling Will to the reading of a chapter in Latin, and I am resolved to go through it. After being trimmed, I by water to Whitehall, and so over the park, it raining hard, to Mr. Coventry's chamber, where I spent 2 hours talking with him about businesses of the Navy, and how by his absence things are like to go with us, and with good content from my being with him, he carried me by coach and set me down at Whitehall, and thence to Wright's home by water. He showed me a list which he hath prepared for the Parliament's view, if the business of his selling of offices should be brought to further hearing, wherein he reckons up, as I remember, 236 offices of ships, which have been disposed of without his taking one farthing. This, of his own accord, he opened his cabinet, on purpose to show me, meaning, I suppose, that I should discourse abroad of it, and vindicate him therein, which I shall, with all my power, do. At home, being wet, shifting my band and things, and then to dinner, and after dinner went up and tried a little upon my triangle, which I understand fully, and with a little use, I believe, could bring myself to do something. So to church, and slept all the sermon. The Scot, to whose voice I am not to be reconciled, preaching. Thence with Sir John Minnis, who, poor man, had forgot that he carried me the other day to the painter's to see some pictures, which he hath since bought, and are brought home, to his lodgings to see some rare pieces, he calls them, of great masters of painting. So I said nothing that he had shown me them already, but commended them, and I think that they are indeed good enough. Thence to see Sir William Penn, who continues ill of the gout still. Here we stayed a good while, and then I to my office, and read my vows seriously and with content, and so home to supper, to prayers, and to bed. The 22nd of June. Up betimes, and to my office, reading over all our letters of the office that we have writ since I came into the Navy, whereby to bring the whole series of matters into my memory, and to enter in my manuscript some of them that are needful and of general influence. By and by with Sir William Batten by coach to Westminster, where all along I find the shops, evening with the sides of the houses, even in the broadest streets, which will make the city very much better than it was. I walked in the hall from one man to another, hear that the House is still divided about the manner of levying the subsidies which they intend to give the King, both as to the manner, the time, and the number. It seems the House doth consent to send to the King to desire that he would be graciously pleased to let them know who it was that did inform him of what words Sir Richard Temple should say, which were to this purpose, that if the King would side with him or be guided by him and his party, that he should not lack money, but without knowing who told it, they do not think fit to call him to any account for it. thence with Crete, and bought a lobster, and then to an alehouse, where the maid of the house is a confident merry lass, and, if modest, is very pleasant to the customers that come thither. Here we ate it, and thence to walk in the park a good while, the Duke being gone a-hunting, and by came in and shifted himself, he having in his hunting, rather than go about, light and led his horse through a river up to his breast, and came so home, and when we were come, which was by, we went into him, and being ready, he retired with us, and we had a long discourse with him, but Mr. Creed's account sticks still, through the perverse ignorance of Sir George Carteret, which I cannot safely control as I would. Thence to the park again, and there walked up and down an hour or two till night with Creed, talking, who is so knowing and a man of that reason that I cannot but love his company, though I do not love the man, because he is too wise to be made a friend of, and acts all by interest and policy, but is a man fit to learn of. So to Whitehall, and by water to the Temple, and calling at my brother's in several places, but to no purpose, I came home, and meeting Strutt the purser, he tells me for a secret that he was told by Field that he hath a judgment against me in the Exchequer for £400. So I went to Sir William Batten, and taking Mr. Batten, his son, the counsellor, with me by coach, I went to Clark, our solicitor, who tells me there can be no such thing. And after conferring with them two together, who are resolved to look well after that business, I returned home, and to my office, setting down this day's passages, and having a letter that all is well in the country, I went home to supper, then a Latin chapter of Will, and to bed. The 23rd of June. Up by 4 o'clock, and so to my office, but before I went out, calling, as I have of late done, for my boy's copy-book, I find that he hath not done his task, and so I beat him, and then went up to fetch my rope's end. But before I got down the boy was gone. I searched the cellar with a candle, and from top to bottom could not find him, high nor low. So to the office, and after an hour or two, by water to the Temple, to my cousin Roger, who I perceive is a deadly high man in the Parliament business, and against the court, showing me how they have computed that the King hath spent, at least hath received, about 4 millions of money since he came in. And in Sir John Winter's case, in which I spoke to him, he is so high that he says he deserves to be hanged, and all the high words he could give, which I was sorry to see, though I am confident he means well. Thence by water home, and to the Change, and by comes the King and the Queen's by, in a great state, and the streets full of people. I stood in Mr. So-and-so's balcony. They dine all at my Lord Mayor's, but what he doth for victuals or room for them I know not. So home to dinner alone, and there I find that my boy had got out of doors and came in for his hat and band, and so is gone away to his brother. But I do resolve even to let him go for good and all. So I by to the office, and there had a great fray with Sir William Batten and Sir John Minnis, who, like an old dotard, is led by the nose by him. It was in Captain Cox's business of hemp, wherein the King is absolutely abused, but I was, for peace sake, contented to be quiet and to sign to his bill, but in my manner so as to justify myself. And so all was well, but to see what a knave Sir William Batten is makes my heart ache. So late at my office, and then home to supper, and to bed, my man Will not being well. The 24th of June. Up before 4 o'clock, and so to my lute an hour and more, and then by water, drinking my morning draught alone in an alehouse in Thames Street, to the Temple, and there, after a little discourse with my cousin Roger about some business, away by water to St. James, and there an hour's private discourse with Mr. Coventry, where he told me one thing to my great joy, that in the business of Captain Cox Hemp, disputed before him the other day, Mr. Coventry absent, the Duke did himself tell him since, that Mr. Pepys and he did stand up and carry it against the rest that were there, Sir George Carteret, and Sir William Batten, which doth please me much, to see that the Duke doth take notice of me. We did talk highly of Sir William Batten's corruption, which Mr. Coventry did very kindly say that it might be only his heaviness and an aptness for business that he doth things without advice, and rashly, and to gratify people that do eat and drink and play with him, and that now and then he observes that he signs bills only in anger and fury, to be rid of them. Speaking of Sir George Carteret, of whom I perceive he speaks but slightly, and diminishing him in his services for the king in Jersey, that he was well rewarded and had good lands and rents and other profits from the king all the time he was there, and that it was always his humour to have things done his way, he brought an example, how he would not let the castle there be victualled for more than a month, so that he might keep it at his beck, though the people of the town did offer to supply it more often themselves, which, when one did propose to the king, Sir George Carteret being by, "Oh," says Sir George, "let me know who they are that would do it, I would with all my heart hug them." "Ay, by God," says the commander that spoke of it, "that it is that they are afeard of, that you would hug them," meaning that he would not endure them. Another thing he told me, how the Duke of York did give Sir George Carteret and the island his profits as admiral, and other things toward the building of a pier there, but it was never laid out, nor like to be. So it falling out that a lady being brought to bed, the Duke was to be desired to be one of the godfathers, and it being objected that that would not be proper, there being no peer of the land to be joined with him, the lady replied, "Why, let him choose, and if he will not be a godfather without a peer, let him even stay till he hath made a peer of his own." He tells me, too, that he hath lately been observed to tack about at court, and to endeavour to strike in with the persons that are against the Chancellor. But this, he says of him, that he doth not say or do anything to the prejudice of the Chancellor. But he told me that the Chancellor was rising again, and that of late Sir George Carteret's business and employment hath not been so full as it used to be while the Chancellor stood up. From that we discoursed of the evil of putting out men of experience in business, as the Chancellor, and from that to speak of the condition of the King's party at present, who, as the Papists, though otherwise fine persons, yet being by law kept for these 80 years out of employment, they are now wholly incapable of business. And so the Cavaliers for 20 years, who, says he, for the most part have either given themselves over to look after country and family business, and those the best of them, and the rest to debauchery, etc. And that was it that hath made him high against the late bill brought into the House for the making all men incapable of employment, that had served against the king. "Why," says he, "in the sea service it is impossible to do anything without them, there being not more than 3 men of the whole king's side that are fit to command, almost." And those were Captain Allen, Smith, and Beach. And it may be Holmes and Utber and Batts might do something. I desired him to tell me, if he thought that I did speak anything that I do against Sir William Batten or Sir John Minnis, out of ill will or design. He told me quite the contrary, and that there was reason enough. After a good deal of good and fine discourse, I took leave, and so to my Lord Sandwich's house, where I met my Lord, and there did discourse of our office businesses, and how the Duke doth show me kindness, though I have endeavoured to displease more or less of my fellow officers, all but Mr. Coventry and Pett, but it matters not. "Yes," says my lord, "Sir John Minnis, who is great with the Chancellor." I told him the Chancellor I have thought was declining, and, however, that the esteem he hath among them is nothing but for a jester or a ballad-maker, at which my lord laughs, and asks me whether I believe he ever could do that well. Thence with Mr. Creed up and down to an ordinary, and the king's head being full went to the other over against it, a pretty man that keeps it, and good and much meat, better than the other, but the company and room so small that he must break, and there wants the pleasure that the other house hath in its company. Here, however, dined an old courtier that is now so, who did bring many examples and arguments to prove that seldom any man that brings anything to court gets anything, but rather the contrary, for knowing that they have wherewith to live, will not enslave themselves to the attendance and flattery and fawning condition of a courtier, whereas another that brings nothing, and will be contented to cog and lie, and flatter every man and woman that hath any interest with the persons that are great in favour, and can cheat the king. as nothing is to be got without offending God and the king there. He, for the most part, and he alone, saves anything. Thence to St. James's Park, and there walked 2 or 3 hours, talking of the difference between Sir George Carteret and Mr. Creed about his accounts, and how to obviate him. But I find Creed a deadly cunning fellow, and one that never doth anything openly, but hath intrigues in all he doth, or says. Thence by water home to see all well, and thence down to Greenwich, and there walked into a pretty common garden, and there played with him at ninepins, for some drink, and to make the fellows drink that set up the pins. And so home again, being very cold, and taking a very great cold, being today the first time in my tabby doublet this year. Home, and after a small supper, Creed and I to bed. This day I observed the house, which I took to be the new tennis court, newly built next my lord's lodging, to be fallen down, by the badness of the foundation or slight working, which my cousin Roger and his discontent party cries out upon, as an example how the king's work is done, which I'm sorry to see him and others so apt to think ill of things. It hath beaten down a good deal of my lord's lodgings, and had like to have killed Mistress Sarah, she being but newly gone out of it. The 25th of June. Up both of us pretty early, and to my chamber, where he and I did draw up a letter to Sir George Carteret, in excuse and preparation for Creed, against we meet before the Duke upon his accounts, which I drew up, and it proved very well. But I'm pleased to see with what secret cunning and variety of artifice this Creed hath carried on his business, even unknown to me, which he is now forced by an accident to communicate to me, as the taking up of all the papers of moment, which led to the clearing of his accounts, unobserved out of the controller's hand, which he now makes great use of, knowing that the controller hath not wherewith to betray him. About this, all the morning, only Mr. Bland came to me about some business of his, and told me the news, which holds to be true, that the Portuguese did let in the Spaniard by a plot, and they being in the midst of the country, and we believing that they would have taken the whole country, they did all rise and kill the whole body, near 8,000 men. And Don John of Austria, having 2 horses killed under him, was forced with 1 man to fly away. Sir George Carteret at the office, after dinner and Creed being gone, for both now and yesterday I was afeard to have him seen by Sir George Carteret with me, for fear that he should increase his doubt that I am of a plot with Creed in the business of his accounts, did tell us that upon Tuesday last, being with my Lord Treasurer, he showed him a letter from Portugal, speaking of the advance of the Spaniards into their country, and yet that the Portuguese were never more courageous than now. For by an old prophecy from France, sent thither some years, though not many, since from the French king, it is foretold that the Spaniards should come into their country, and in such a valley they should be all killed, and then their country should be wholly delivered from the Spaniards. This was on Tuesday last. And yesterday came the very first news that in this very valley they had thus routed and killed the Spaniards, which is very strange, but true. So late at the office, and then home to supper, and to bed. This noon I received a letter from the country from my wife, wherein she seems much pleased with the country. God continue that she may have pleasure while she is there. She, by my lady's advice, desires a new petticoat of the new silk striped stuffs, very pretty. So I went to Paternoster Row presently, and bought her one, with Mr. Creed's help. A very fine rich one, the best I did see there, and much better than she desires or expects. And sent it by Creed to unthank to be made against tomorrow, to send by the carrier, thinking it had been but Wednesday today, but I found myself mistaken. And also the tailor being out of the way, it could not be done, but the stuff was sent me back at night by Creed, to dispose of some other way to make. But now I shall keep it to next week. The 26th of June. Up betimes, and Mr. Moore coming to see me, he and I discoursed of going to Oxford this commencement, Mr. Nathaniel Crewe being proctor, and Mr. Child commencing Doctor of Music this year, which I have a great mind to do, and if I can, will order my matters so that I may do it. By and by he and I to the Temple, it raining hard, but my cousin Roger being gone out, He and I walked a good while among the temple trees, discoursing of my getting my lord to let me have some security upon his estate, for 100 per annum, for 2 lives, my own and my wife, for my money. But upon second thoughts, Mr. Moore tells me it is very likely my lord will think that I beg something, and may take it ill, and so we resolved not to move it there, but to look for it somewhere else. Here, it raining hard, he and I walked into the King's Bench Court, where I never was before, and there stayed an hour almost till it had done raining, which is a sad season, that it is said there hath not been one fair day these 3 months, and I think it is true. And then by water to Westminster, and at the Parliament door I spoke with Roger Pepys. The House is upon the King's answer to their message about Temple, which is that my Lord of Bristol did tell him that Temple did say those words, so the House are resolved upon sending some of their members to him to know the truth, and to demand satisfaction if it be not true. Thence by water home, and after a little while getting me ready, Sir William Batten, Sir John Minnis, my Lady Batten, and I, by coach to Bethnal Green, to Sir William Ryder's to dinner, where a fine place, good lady, mother, and their daughter, Mistress Middleton, a fine woman. A noble dinner and a fine merry walk with the ladies alone after dinner in the garden, which is very pleasant. The greatest quantity of strawberries I ever saw, and good. Then a collation, and great mirth, Sir John Minnis reading a book of scolding very prettily. This very house was built by the blind beggar of Bethnal Green, so much talked of and sang in ballads, but they say it was only some of the outhouses of it. We drank great store of wine and a beer glass at last, which made me almost sick. At table, discoursing of thunder and lightning, they told many stories of their own knowledge at table, of their masts being shivered from top to bottom, and sometimes only within and the outside hole. But among the rest, Sir William Ryder did tell a story of his own knowledge, that a Genoese galley in Leghorn Road was struck by thunder, so as the mast was broke a pieces, and the shackle upon one of the slaves was melted clear off of his leg, without hurting his leg. Sir William went on board the vessel, and would have contributed toward the release of the slave whom heaven had thus set free, but he could not compass it, and so he was brought to his fetters again. In the evening, home, and I a little to my triangle, and so to bed. The 27th of June. Up by 4 o'clock and a little to my office. Then comes, by agreement, Sir William Warren, and he and I from ship to ship to see deals of all sorts, whereby I have increased my knowledge and with great pleasure. Then to his yard and house, where I stayed 2 hours or more discoursing of the expense of the navy, and the corruption of Sir William Batten and his man Wood, that he brings or would bring to sell all that is to be sold to the navy. Then home to the office, where we sat a little, and at noon home to dinner alone, and thence, it raining hard, by water to the Temple, and so to Lincoln's Inn, and there, walked up and down to see the new garden which they are making, and will be very pretty, and so to walk under the chapel, by agreement, whither Mr. Clark, our solicitor, came to me, and he fetched Mr. Long, our attorney in the Exchequer in the business against Field, and I directed him to come to the best and speediest composition he could, which he will do. So home on foot, calling at my brother's and elsewhere upon businesses, and so home to my office, and there wrote letters to my father and wife, and so home to bed, taking 3 pills overnight. The 28th of June, Lord's Day. Early in the morning my last night's physic worked, and did give me a good stool. And then I rose and had 3 or 4 stools, and walked up and down my chamber. Then up my maid rose, and made me a posset, and by and by comes Mr. Creed, and he and I spent all the morning discoursing against tomorrow before the Duke, the business of his pieces of 8, in which the Treasurer makes so many queries. At noon, my physic having done working, I went down to dinner, and then he and I up again and spent the most of the afternoon reading in Cicero and other books and good discourse. And then he went away, and then came my brother Tom to see me, telling me how the Joyces do make themselves fine clothes against Mary is brought to bed. He being gone, I went to cast up my monthly accounts, and to my great trouble I find myself £7 worse than I was the last month. But I confess it is by my reckoning beforehand a great many things. Yet, however, I am troubled to see that I can hardly promise myself to lay up much from month's end to month's end, about £4 or £5 at most, one month with another, without some extraordinary gettings. But I must, and I hope I shall continue to have a care of my own expenses. So to the reading my vows seriously, and then to supper. This evening there came my boy's brother to see for him, and tells me he knows not where he is, himself being out of town this week, and is very sorry that he is gone, and so am I. But he shall come no more. So to prayers and to bed. The 29th of June. Up betimes into my office, and by and by to the temple, and there appointed to meet in the evening about my business. And thence I walked home, and up and down the streets is cried mightily the great victory got by the Portugals against the Spaniards, where 10,000 slain, 3,000 or 4,000 taken prisoners, with all the artillery, baggage, money, etc., and Don John of Austria forced to fly with a man or two with him, which is very great news. Thence home, and at my office all the morning, and so dined at home, and then by water to St. James, but no meeting, today being Holy Day, but met Mr. Creed in the park, and after a walk or two, discoursing his business, I took leave of him in Westminster Hall, whither we walked, and then came again to the hall, and fell in talk with Mistress Lane, and after great talk that she never went abroad with any man as she used heretofore to do, I, with one word, got her to go with me, and to meet me at the further Rhenish wine-house, where I did give her a lobster, and do so touse her and feel her all over, making her believe how fair and good a skin she had. And, indeed, she hath a very white thigh and leg, but monstrous fat. When weary I did give over, and somebody, having seen some of our dalliance, called aloud in the street, "Sir, why do you kiss the gentlewoman so?" and flung a stone at the window, which vexed me, but I believe they could not see my tousing her. And so we broke up, and went out of the back way, without being observed, I think. And so she towards the hall, and I to Whitehall, where, taking water, I to the temple, and thence with my cousin Roger, and Mr. Goldsborough to Gray's Inn to his council, one Mr. Raworth, a very fine man, where, it being the question whether I, as executor, should give a warrant to Goldsborough in my reconvening her estate back again, the mortgage being performed against all acts of the testator but only my own, my cousin said he never heard it asked before, and the other, that it was always asked, and he never heard it denied or scrupled before. So great a distance was there in their opinions, enough to make a man forswear ever having to do with the law. So they agreed to refer it to Sergeant Maynard, and so we broke up, and I by water home from the temple, and there to Sir William Batten, and ate with him, he and his lady and Sir John Minnis having been below today upon the East India men that are come in. But never tell me so, but that they have been at Woolwich and Deptford and done great deal of business. God help them. So home, and up to my lute song, and then, after a little Latin chapter with Will, to bed. But I have used of late, since my wife went, to make a bad use of my fancy with whatever woman I have a mind to, which I am ashamed of, and shall endeavour to do so no more. And so to sleep. The 30th of June. Up betimes, yesterday and today, the sun rising very bright and glorious, and yet yesterday, as it hath been these 2 months and more, was a foul day the most part of the day. By and by water to Whitehall, and there to my lord's lodgings by appointment, whither Mr. Creed comes to me, having been at Chelsea this morning, to fetch my lord to St. James's. So he and I to the park, where we understand that the King and Duke have gone out betimes this morning on board the East India ships lately come in, and so our meeting appointed is lost. But he and I walked at the further end of the park, not to be observed, whither, by and by, comes my Lord Sandwich, and he and we walked 2 hours and more in the park, and then in Whitehall Gallery, and lastly in Whitehall Garden, discoursing of Mr. Creed's accounts and how to answer the treasurer's objections. I find that the business is 500 deep, the advantage of Creed, and why my lord and I should be concerned to promote his profit, with so much dishonour and trouble to us, I know not. But, however, we shall do what we can, though he deserves it not, for there is nothing, even to his own advantage, that can be got out of him but by mere force. So full of policy he is in the smallest matters, that I perceive him to be made up of nothing but design. I left him here, being in my mind vexed at the trouble that this business gets me and the distance that it makes between Sir George Carteret and myself, which I ought to avoid. Thence by water home, and to dinner, and afterward to the office, and there sat till evening, and then I by water to Deptford to see Sir William Penn, who lies ill at Captain Ruth's, but in a way to be well again. This weather, this day, being the only fair day we have had these 3 or 4 months. Among other discourse, I did tell him plainly some of my thoughts concerning Sir William Batten, and the office in general, upon design for him to understand that I do mind things, and will not balk to take notice of them, that when he comes to be well again, he may know how to look upon me. Thence homeward walked, and in my way met Creed coming to meet me, and then turned back and walk a while, and so to boat and home by water, I being not very forward to talk of his business, and he, by design, the same, to see how I would speak of it. But I did not, but in general terms, and so, after supper, with general discourse, to bed and sleep. Thus, by God's blessing, end this book of 2 years, being in all points in good health, and a good way to thrive and do well. Some money I do, and can lay up, but not much, being worth now above £700, besides goods of all sorts. My wife in the country with Ashwell, her woman, with my father. Myself at home with Will Cure, and my cook-maid Hannah, my boy Wainman being lately run away from me. In my office my repute and understanding good, especially with the Duke and Mr. Coventry. Only the rest of the officers do rather envy than love me, I standing in most of their lights, especially Sir William Batten, whose cheats I do daily oppose to his great trouble, though he appears mighty kind and willing to keep friendship with me, while Sir John Minnis, like a dotard, is led by the nose by him. My wife and I, by my late jealousy, for which I am truly to be blamed, have not that fondness between us which we used and ought to have, and I fear will be lost hereafter if I do not take some course to oblige her, and yet preserve my authority. Public matters are in an ill condition, Parliament sitting and raising 4 subsidies for the King, which is but a little considering his wants, and yet that parted withal with great hardness, they being offended to see so much money go, and no debts of the public paid, but all swallowed by a luxurious court, which the King, it is believed and hoped, will retrench in a little time, when he comes to see the utmost of the revenue which shall be settled on him, he expecting to have his £1,200,000 made good to him, which is not yet done by above £150,000, as he himself reports to the House. My differences with my Uncle Thomas at a good quiet, blessed be God, and other matters. The town full of the great overthrow lately given to the Spaniard by the Portugal, they being advanced into the very middle of Portugal. The weather wet for 2 or 3 months together, beyond belief, almost not one fair day coming between till this day, which hath been a very pleasant day, and the first pleasant this summer. The charge of the Navy intended to be limited to £200,000 per annum, the ordinary charge of it, and that to be settled upon the customs. The King yet greatly taken up with Madam Castlemaine and Mistress Stuart, which God of Heaven put an end to. Myself very studious to learn what I can of all things necessary for my place as an officer of the Navy, reading lately what concerns measuring of timber and knowledge of the tides. I have of late spent much time with Creed, being led to it by his business of his accounts, but I find him a fellow of those designs or reaches that there is no degree of true friendship to be made with him, and therefore I must cast him off, Though he be a very understanding man, and one that much may be learned of as to cunning and judging of other men. Besides, too, I do perceive more and more that my time of pleasure and idleness of any sort must be flung off, to attend the getting of some money, and the keeping of my family in order, which, I fear, by my wife's liberty, may be otherwise lost. July 1663. The First. This morning it rained so hard, though it was fair yesterday, and we thereupon in hopes of having some fair weather, which we have wanted these 3 months, that it wakened Creed, who lay with me last night, and me, and so we up and fell to discourse of the business of his accounts, now under dispute, in which I have taken much trouble upon myself, and raised a distance between Sir George Carteret and myself which troubles me. But I hope we have this morning light of an expedient that will right all, that is, will answer their queries, and yet save Creed the £500 which he did purpose to make of the exchange abroad of the pieces of eight which he dispersed. Being ready, he and I by water to Whitehall, where I left him, before we came into the court, for fear I should be seen by Sir George Carteret with him, which of late I have been forced to avoid to remove suspicion. I to St. James's, and there discoursed a while with Mr. Coventry, between whom and myself there is very good understanding and friendship. And so to Westminster Hall, and being in the Parliament lobby, I there saw my Lord of Bristol come to the Commons House to give his answer to their question, about some words he should tell the King that were spoke by Sir Richard Temple, a member of their House. A chair was set at the bar of the House for him, which he used but little, but made a harangue of half an hour bareheaded, the House covered. His speech being done, he came out and drew into a little room till the House had concluded of an answer to his speech, which, they staying long upon, I went away, and by and by out comes Sir William Batten, and he told me that his lordship had made a long and a comedian-like speech, and delivered with such action as were not becoming his lordship. He confesses he did tell the King such a thing of Sir Richard Temple, but that upon his honour they were not spoke by Sir Richard, he having taken a liberty of enlarging to the King upon the discourse which had been between Sir Richard and himself lately, and so took upon himself the whole blame, and desired their pardon, it being not to do any wrong to their fellow member, but out of zeal to the King. He told them, among other things, that as to his religion, he was a Roman Catholic, but such a one as thought no man to have right to the crown of England but the prince that hath it, and such a one as, if the King should desire his counsel as to his own, he would not advise him to another religion than the old true reformed religion of this country, it being the properest of this kingdom as it now stands. And concluded with a submission to what the House shall do with him, saying that whatever they shall do, says he, thanks be to God, this head, this heart, and this sword, pointing to them all, will find me a being in any place in Europe. The House hath hereupon voted clearly Sir Richard Temple to be free from the imputation of saying those words. But when Sir William Batten came out, had not concluded what to say to my lord, it being urged that to own any satisfaction as to my lord from his speech would be to lay some fault upon the King for the message he should, upon no better accounts, send to the impeaching of one of their members. Walking out, I hear that the House of Lords are offended that my Lord Digby should come to this House and make a speech there without leave first asked of the House of Lords. I hear also of another difficulty now upon him, is that my Lord of Sunderland, whom I do not know, was so near to the marriage of his daughter, as that the wedding clothes were made, and portion, and everything agreed on and ready, and the other day he goes away, nobody yet knows whither, sending her the next morning a release of his right or claim to her, and advice to his friends not to inquire into the reason of this doing, for he hath enough for it, but that he gives them liberty to say and think what they will of him, so they do not demand the reason of his leaving her, being resolved never to have her, but the reason desires and resolves not to give. Thence by water with Sir William Batten to Trinity House, there to dine with him, which we did, and after dinner we fell in talking, Sir John Minnis and Mr. Batten and I, Mr. Batten telling us of a late trial of Sir Charles Sidley the other day, before my Lord Chief Justice Foster and the whole bench, for his debauchery a little while since at Oxford Cates. Coming in open day into the balcony, and showed his nakedness, acting all the postures of lust and buggery that could be imagined, and abusing of Scripture, and, as it were, from thence preaching a mountebank sermon from that pulpit, saying that there he hath to sell such a powder as should make all the cunts in town run after him, 1,000 people standing underneath to see and hear him. And that being done, he took a glass of wine and washed his prick in it, and then drank it off, and then took another and drank the king's health. It seems my lord and the rest of the judges did all of them round, give him a most high reproof, my lord chief justice saying that it was for him and such wicked wretches as he was that God's anger and judgments hung over us, calling him sirrah many times. It's said they have bound him to his good behaviour, there being no law against him for it, in £5,000. It being told that my Lord Buckhurst was there, my Lord asked whether it was that Buckhurst that was lately tried for robbery, and when answered yes, he asked whether he had so soon forgot his deliverance at that time, and that it would have more become him to have been at his prayers, begging God's forgiveness, than now running into such courses again. Upon this discourse, Sir John Minnis and Mr. Batten both say that buggery is now almost grown as common among our gallants as in Italy, and that the very pages of the town begin to complain of their masters for it. But blessed be God, I do not to this day know what is the meaning of this sin, nor which is the agent, nor which the patient. Thence home, and my clerks being gone by my leave to see the East India ships that are lately come home, I stayed all alone within my office all the afternoon. This day I hear at dinner that Don John of Austria, since his flight out of Portugal, is dead of his wounds. So there is a great man gone, and a great dispute like to be ended for the crown of Spain, if the king should have died before him. I received this morning a letter from my wife, brought by John Goods to town, wherein I find a sad falling out between my wife and my father and sister and Ashwell, upon my writing to my father to advise Paul not to keep Ashwell from her mistress, or making any difference between them. Which Paul telling to Ashwell, and she speaking some words that her mistress heard, caused great difference among them all, which I am sorry from my heart to hear of, and I fear will breed ill blood not to be laid again, so that I fear my wife and I may have some falling out about it, or at least my father and I, but I shall endeavour to salve up all as well as I can, or send for her out of the country before the time intended, which I would be loath to do. In the evening by water to my cousin Roger Pepys's chamber, where he was not come, but I found Dr. John newly come to town, and is well again after his sickness. But, Lord, what a simple man he is as to any public matters of state, and talks so sillily! And his brother Tom, what the matter is I know not, but he hath taken, as my father told me a good while since, such displeasure that he hardly would touch his hat to me, and I as little to him. By and by comes Roger, and he tells us the whole passage of my Lord Digby today, much as I have said here above, only that he did say that he would draw his sword against the Pope himself, if he should offer anything against his majesty and the good of these nations, and that he never was the man that did either look for a cardinal's cap for himself or anybody else, meaning Abbot Montague, and the House, upon the whole, did vote Sir Richard Temple innocent, and that my Lord Digby hath cleared the honour of his majesty, Sir Richard Temple's, and given perfect satisfaction of his own respects to the House. Thence to my brother's, and being vexed with his not minding my father's business here in getting his landskips done, I went away in an anger, and walked home, and so up to my lute, and then to bed. The 2nd of July. Up betimes to my office, and there all the morning doing business. At noon to the change, and there met with several people, among others, Captain Cox, and with him to a coffee, and drank with him and some other merchants. good discourse. Thence home and to dinner, and after a little alone at my viol, to the office, where we sat all the afternoon, and so rose at the evening, and then home to supper and to bed, after a little music, my mind being troubled with the thoughts of the difference between my wife and my father in the country. Walking in the garden this evening with Sir George Carteret and Sir John Minnis, Sir George Carteret told us with great contempt how like a stage player my Lord Digby spoke yesterday, pointing to his head as my lord did and saying, "First for his head," says Sir George Carteret. "I know that a calf's head would have done better by half. For his heart and his sword, I have nothing to say to them." He told us that for certain his head cost the late king his, for it was he that broke off the treaty at Uxbridge. He told us also how great a man he was raised from a private gentleman in France by Monsieur Grandmont, and afterward by the Cardinal, who raised him to be a lieutenant general, and then higher, and entrusted by the Cardinal when he was banished out of France with great matters, and recommended by him to the Queen, as a man to be trusted and ruled by. Yet when he came to have some power over the Queen, he began to dissuade her from her opinion of the Cardinal, which she said nothing to till the Cardinal was returned. And then she told him of it, who told my Lord Digby, "Eh bien, monsieur, vous êtes un fort bon ami, donc." But presently put him out of all, and then he was from a certainty of coming in 2 or 3 years' time to be Marshal of France, to which all strangers, even Protestants and those as often as French themselves, are capable of coming, though it be one of the greatest places in France. He was driven to go out of France into Flanders, but there was not trusted, nor received any kindness from the Prince of Conde, as one to whom he had also been false, as he had been to the Cardinal and Grandmont. In fine, he told us how he is a man of excellent parts, but of no great faith nor judgment, and one very easy to get up to great heights of preferment, but never able to hold it. So in, and to my music, and then comes Mr. Creed to me, giving me an account of his accounts, how he hath now settled them fit for perusal the most strict, at which I am glad, and so he and I to bed together. The 3rd of July. Up, and he home, and I with Sir John Minnis, and Sir William Batten by coach to Westminster to St. James, thinking to meet Sir George Carteret and to attend the Duke. But he not coming, we broke up, and so I to Westminster Hall, and there meeting with Mr. Moore, he tells me great news, that my Lady Castlemaine is fallen from court, and this morning retired. He gives me no account of the reason of it, but that it is so, for which I am sorry, and yet if the King doth it to leave off not only her, but all other mistresses, I should be heartily glad of it, that he may fall to look after business. I hear my Lord Digby is condemned at court for his speech, and that my Lord Chancellor grows great again. Thence with Mr. Creed, whom I called at his chamber over the water to Lambeth, but could not, it being morning, get to see the Archbishop's hearse. And so he and I walked over the fields to Southwark, and there parted, and I spent half an hour in Mary Overy's church, where are fine monuments of great antiquity, I believe, and hath been a fine church. Thence to the change, and meeting Sir John Minnis there, he and I walked to look upon Backwell's design of making another alley from his shop through, over against the exchange door, which will be very noble and quite put down the other two. So home to dinner, and then to the office, and entered in my manuscript book, The Victualler's Contract, and then over the water and walked to see Sir William Penn, and sat with him a while, and so home late and to my viol. So up comes Creed again to me, and stays all night, tomorrow morning being a hearing before the Duke. So to bed, full of discourse of his business. The 4th of July. Up by 4 o'clock, and sent him to get matters ready, and I to my office looking over papers and mending my manuscript, by scraping out the blots and other things, which is now a very fine book. So to St. James by water with Sir John Minnis and Sir William Batten, I giving occasion to a wager about the tide, that it did flow through bridge, by which Sir William Batten won 5 shillings of Sir John Minnis. At St. James we stayed while the Duke made himself ready, and among other things, Sir Alan Apsley showed the Duke the Lisbon Gazette in Spanish, where the late victory is set down particularly, and to the great honour of the English beyond measure. They have since taken back Evora, which was lost to the Spaniard, the English making the assault, and not lost more than 3 men. Here I learned that the English foot are highly esteemed all over the world, but the horse not so much, which yet we account among ourselves the best. But they abroad have had no great knowledge of our horse, it seems. The Duke being ready, we retired with him, and there fell upon Mr. Creed's business, where the treasurer did like a mad coxcomb, without reason or method, run over a great many things against the account, and so did Sir John Minnis and Sir William Batten, which the Duke himself and Mr. Coventry and my Lord Berkeley and myself did remove. And Creed, being called in, did answer all with great method and excellently to the purpose. Myself, I am a little conscious, did not speak so well as I purposed and do think I used to do. That is, not so intelligibly and persuasively as I well hoped I should. Not that what I said was not well taken, and did carry the business with what was urged and answered by Creed and Mr. Coventry, till the Duke himself did declare that he was satisfied, and my Lord Berkeley offered to lay £100 that the King could receive no wrong in the account, and the two last knights held their tongues, or at least, by not understanding it, did say what made for Mr. Creed, and so Sir George Carteret was left alone, but yet persisted to say that the account was not good, but full of corruption and foul dealing. And so we broke up, to his shame, but I do fear to the loss of his friendship to me a good while, which I am heartily troubled for. Thence with Creed to the King's Head Ordinary, but coming late, dined at the second table very well for 12 pence. And a pretty gentleman in our company who confirms my Lady Castlemaine's being gone from court, but knows not the reason. He told us of one wipe the Queen a little while ago did give her, when she came in and found the Queen under the dresser's hands, and had been so long. "I wonder your Majesty," says she, "can have the patience to sit so long a-dressing." "Oh," says the Queen, "I have so much reason to use patience, that I can very well bear with it." He thinks that it may be the Queen hath commanded her to retire, though that is not likely. Thence with Creed to hire a coach to carry us to Hyde Park, today there being a general muster of the King's guards, horse and foot. But they demand so high that I, spying Mr. Cutler the merchant, did take notice of him, and he, going into his coach and telling me that he was going to show a couple of Swedish strangers the muster, I asked and went along with him. Where a goodly sight to see so many fine horse and officers, and the King, Duke, and others come by horseback, and the 2 queens in the Queen Mother's coach, my Lady Castlemaine not being there. And after long being there, I light and walk to the place where the King, Duke, etc., did stand to see the horse and foot march by and discharge their guns, to show a French Marquess, for whom this muster was caused, the goodness of our firemen, which indeed was very good, though not without a slip now and then, and one broadside close to our coach we had going out of the park, even to that nearness as to be ready to burn our hairs. Yet, methought, all these gay men are not the soldiers that must do the King's business, it being such as these that lost the old King all he had, and were beat by the most ordinary fellows that could be. Thence, with much ado, out of the park, and I lighted and through St. James, down the waterside over to Lambeth to see the Archbishop's corpse, who is to be carried away to Oxford on Monday. But came too late, and so walked over the fields and bridge home, calling by the way at old George's, but find that he is dead, and there wrote several letters, and so home to supper and to bed. This day in the Duke's chamber, there, being a Roman story, in the hangings and upon the standards written these 4 letters, S.P.Q.R., Sir George Carteret came to me to know what the meaning of those 4 letters were. Which ignorance is not to be borne in a privy councillor, methinks, that a schoolboy should be whipped for not knowing. The 5th of July, Lord's Day. Lay being weary and not very well last night, long asleep. Anon, about 7 o'clock, the maid calls me, telling me that my Lady Batten had sent twice to invite me to go with them to Walthamstow today, Mistress Martha being married already this morning to Mr. Castle at this parish church. I could not rise soon enough to go with them, but got myself ready, and so to Games's, where I got a horse and rode thither very pleasantly, only, coming to make water, I find a stopping, which makes me fearful of my old pain. Being come thither, I was well received and had two pair of gloves, as the rest, and walked up and down with my lady in the garden, she mighty kind to me, and I have the way to please her. A good dinner and merry, but methinks none of the kindness nor bridal respect between the bridegroom and bride that was between my wife and I, but as persons that marry purely for convenience. After dinner to church, by coach, and there my lady, Mistress Turner, Mistress Lemon and I only, we, in spite to one another, kept one another awake, and sometimes I read in my book of Latin plays which I took in my pocket, thinking to have walked it. An old doting parson preached, so home again, and by up and homewards, calling in our way, Sir John Minnis and I only, at Mr. Batten's, who, with his lady and child, went in another coach by us, which is a very pretty house, and himself in all things, within and without, very ingenious, and I find a very fine study and good books. So set out, Sir John Minnis and I in his coach together, talking all the way of chemistry, wherein he doth know something, at least seems so to me that cannot correct him. Mr. Batten's man riding my horse, and so home, and to my office a while to read my vows, then home to prayers and to bed. The 6th of July. Up pretty early into my office, where all the morning, writing out a list of the King's ships in my navy collections, with great pleasure. At noon Creed comes to me, who tells me how well he hath sped with Sir George Carteret after all our trouble, that he had had his tallies up, and all the kind words possible from him, which I believe is out of an apprehension what a fool he hath made of himself hitherto in making so great a stop therein. But I find, and so my Lord Sandwich may, that Sir George Carteret had a design to do him a disgrace, if he could possibly. Otherwise he would never have carried the business so far after that manner, but would first have consulted my Lord, and given him advice what to do therein for his own honour, which, he thought, endangered. Creed dined with me, and then walked a while, and so away, and I to my office at my morning's work till dark night, and so with good content home, to supper, a little music, and then to bed. The 7th of July. Up by 4 o'clock, and to my office, and there continued all the morning upon my navy book, to my great content. At noon, down by barge with Sir John Minnis, who is going to Chatham, to Woolwich, in our way, eating of some venison pasty in the barge, I having neither ate nor drank to-day, which fills me full of wind. Here also, in Mr. Pett's garden, I ate some, and the first cherries I have ate this year, off the tree, where the King himself had been gathering some this morning. Thence walked alone, only part of the way Dean walked with me, complaining of many abuses in the yard, to Greenwich, and so by water to Deptford, where I find Mr. Coventry, and with him up and down all the stores, to the great trouble of the officers, and by his help I am resolved to fall hard to work again, as I used to do. So thence he and I by water, talking of many things, and I see he puts his trust most upon me in the navy, and talks, as there is reason, slightly, of the two old knights, and I should be glad by any drudgery to see the King's stores and service looked to as they ought, but I fear I shall never understand half the miscarriages and tricks that the King suffers by. He tells me what Mr. Pett did to-day, that my Lord Bristol told the King that he will impeach the Chancellor of high treason, but I find that my Lord Bristol hath undone himself already in everybody's opinion, and now he endeavours to raise dust to put out other men's eyes, as well as his own. But I hope it will not take, in consideration merely that it is hard for a prince to spare an experienced old officer, be he never so corrupt, though I hope this man is not so, as some report him to be. He tells me that Don John is yet alive, and not killed, as was said, in the great victory against the Spaniards in Portugal of late. so home and late at my office, thence home and to my music. This night Mr. Turner's house of office being to be emptied out of my cellar, and therefore I think to sit up a little longer than ordinary. This afternoon, coming from the waterside with Mr. Coventry, I spied my boy upon Tower Hill, playing with the rest of the boys. So I sent Will Griffin to take him, and he did bring him to me, and so I said nothing to him, but caused him to be stripped, for he was run away with his best suit. And so, putting on his other, I sent him going without saying one word more to him, though I am troubled for the rogue, though he doth not deserve it. Being come home, I find my stomach not well, for want of eating today my dinner as I should do, and so am become full of wind. I called late for some victuals, and so to bed, leaving the men below in the cellar emptying the turds up through Mr. Turner's own house, and so, with more content, to bed late. The 8th of July. Being weary and going to bed late last night, I slept till 7 o'clock, it raining mighty hard, and so did every minute of the day after, sadly, that I know not what will become of the corn this year, we having had but 2 fair days these many months. Up and to my office, where all the morning busy, and then at noon home to dinner alone, upon a good dish of eels given me by Mitchell the Bupa's man. And then to my viol a little, and then down into the cellar, and up and down with Mr. Turner to see where his vault for turds may be made bigger, or another made him, which I think may well be. And so to my office, where very busy all day setting things in order, my contract books, and preparing things against the next sitting. In the evening I received letters out of the country, among others from my wife, who methinks writes so coldly that I am much troubled at it, and I fear she'll have much ado to bring her to her old good temper. So home to supper and music, which is all the pleasure I have of late given myself, or is fit I should others, spending too much time and money. Going in, I stepped to Sir William Batten, and there stayed and talked with him, my lady being in the country, and sent for some lobsters, and Mistress Turner came in and did bring us an humble pie, hot out of her oven, extraordinary good, and afterwards some spirits of her making, in which she hath great judgment. Very good, and so home, merry with this night's refreshment. The 9th of July. Up, making water this morning, which I do every morning as soon as I am awake, with greater plenty and freedom than I used to do, which I think I may impute to last night's drinking of elder spirits. Abroad, it raining hard, by water to Blackfriars, and there went into a little alehouse, and stayed while I sent to the wardrobe, but Mr. Moore was gone out. Here I kissed 3 or 4 times the maid of the house, which is a pretty girl but very modest, and, God forgive me, had a mind to something more. Thence to my lawyer's up and down to the 6 clerks' office, where I find my bill against Tom Trice dismissed, which troubles me, it being through my neglect, and will put me to charges. So to Mr. Phillips, and discoursed with him about finding me out somebody that will let me have for money an annuity of about £100 per annum for 2 lives. So home, and there put up my riding things against the evening, in case Mr. Moore should continue his mind to go to Oxford, which I have a little mind to do, the weather continuing so bad and the waters high. Dined at home, and Mr. Moore in the afternoon comes to me and concludes not to go. Sir William Batten and I sat a little this afternoon at the office, and then I by water to Deptford, and there mustered the yard, purposely, God forgive me, to find out Bagwell, a carpenter whose wife is a pretty woman, that I might have some occasion of knowing him and forcing her to come to the office again, which I did so luckily, that going thence, he and his wife did of themselves meet me in the way to thank me for my old kindness. But I spoke little to her, but I shall give occasion for her coming to me. Her husband went along with me to show me Sir William Penn's lodging, which I knew before, but only to have a time of speaking to him and sounding him. So left, and I went in to Sir William Penn, who continues ill still, and worse, I think, than before. He tells me my Lady Castlemaine was at court, for all this talk, this week, which I am glad to hear, but it seems the king is stranger than ordinary to her. Thence walked home as I used to do, and to bed presently, having taken great cold in my feet by walking in the dirt this day in thin shoes, or some other way, so that I begun to be in pain, and with warm clothes made myself better by morning. But yet in pain.